But now we have yet another treat in store, and I see here Alan Titchmarsh waiting in the wings. So may I ask you to complete the speeches for this afternoon?
Thank you.
Alan?
Well, there's nothing much left for me to say or...
If you're a politician, it wouldn't stop you saying it.
No, I've noticed that. Perhaps I should become a butler. It's lovely to see such a gathering of like minds. And to come into Parliament, there's always a temptation to harangue politicians, and this is not a day for haranguing, because you're all here because you believe in the cause of horticulture. As both speakers here have made the point so ably, it covers all areas, particularly nowadays. Next year I celebrate 60 years as a professional gardener. I left school at 15 to work in the Parks Department nursery as an apprentice. I have never for a moment regretted my career choice. It's taken me to places I would never have dreamed of going. I've ended up on television screens, which is a dubious accolade nowadays, and particularly this week, when it's really rather nervous of being in daytime television. I've actually spoken in the House of Lords. Janet very kindly took us through, and I made sure I was conversing when we walked through the chamber. So I can now say, yes, I've spoken in the House of Lords, and nobody was listening.
Join the club.
That's why you became Deputy Speaker, Janet, then you got the title right. You could speak. You do become, in a way, the face of gardening, obviously, and people spot you and say, generally lovely things, because it's a relatively unthreatening thing to do, but never, as you've heard, has it been so appropriate as it is now. When I left school at 15 to become a gardener, said, oh, you're going to be a weeder, are you? My dear old dad, whose father and grandfather, he didn't tell me until several years after I'd done it for a living, had both been gardeners. My dad was a plumber. He was astonished when I went to Kew Gardens and then taught there and could get qualifications in horticulture. I have friends who were lawyers, who were solicitors, who were bakers, who were all kinds of things. And towards the end of their careers, they couldn't wait to get out. There are probably a lot of people who wish I would. I love so much what I do. I believe so passionately in the power of gardening and horticulture for humanity in a kind of evangelical way. And it's sometimes hard to stop yourself being too bullish about it and putting people off getting onto a rant. But I do. I mean, it's lovely to hear we're going to have 400 million new trees, as long as they're planted at the right time of year. Not now. And we can offer, we can tell you when. It's quite useful. It is wonderful to have this kind of groundswell underneath us that realises now that the big three things that have always been in government and local government, health, law and order and education, are all impinged upon by plants, flowers, gardens, horticulture. They affect them all. Education, we can teach people how things grow, how they get their food. Law and order, it calms people down. Health, that's obvious. I went round my local garden centre the other day and he said, if anybody else mentions how good gardening is for mental health, I'll hit them. It's been bloody obvious to us for years. And it has, but we are a welcoming bunch. We may appear to be a gentle bunch, but we're a passionate bunch. We don't glue our hands to anything except a trowel. We don't throw orange paint on anything except ghastly garden fences, which are now turning into other colours as well. We can be, if you let us, and if we're allowed to be evangelical and spread the word, we can be the saviours of the nation. I was talking earlier on to an MP here who was saying how difficult it was now to get teachers because the teaching profession has been so busy at saying how appalling it is of itself. The same is true of the medical profession, both of which we need, and anybody who's ever used the NHS has nothing but a good word for them. It's been a wonderful saviour for very close members of my family. I have enormous time for both. But they both kind of, not lost the will to live, that's quite counter, but they're depressed and fed up, understandably in many cases. But we are not. look at the people here, look at what we do, look how happy they are, generally. We have off days. But this is quite literally a growing business. And I think we should be proud to be a part of it. And I do get stopped, and people say nice things generally about programmes, if they recognise you. On a trip up north, back home to Yorkshire, to Ilkley, I went by train, got off the train at Leeds to get on the Ilkley train. It wasn't there, so I got in a taxi. And the taxi driver said, "Hey, you know who you look like." Titmarsh. I said, "Titchmarsh." He said, "That's him, Titmarsh." "You could be his brother." And I said, "Well, you know," he said, "it's uncanny you even sound like him." You know what taxi drivers are like? I didn't get a word until I got home. And I got out and I paid him. He said, "Titmarsh, that's him." He said, "If he needs an understudy for infant job, because you'll get it." I said, "Well, I am him, actually." And he said, "Huh, I bet you wish you had his money." All power to your collective elbows. Thank you for supporting the most important part of British life. A friend came round my garden and she said, "What a wonderful escape." And I said, "This is an escape to reality. This is real. And when everything we hear on the news that depresses us about the goings on in all corners of the world that we're still not genetically computerized to process, we can't. 200 years ago, we were dealing with little things in our own village. We just about cope with that. Now, every day, something awful in some part of the world. It's terrible, but we can't cope with it all. We need something we can cope with that improves all our lives. You have it in environmental horticulture. Thank you for supporting us. Keep digging.